We are approaching the New Testament Passover, and while we are encouraged to rejoice, we need to be sober and serious on that day, because that we remember the day that Christ died for us. We need to continue to be gentle with all people and not to worry about everything by prayers and thankfulness. We need to make our requests known to God. We should continue to serve God with fear and trembling. As it says in Psalm 2 verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. You should read at your leisure Philippians 4 verse 4 to 9. Says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But we also should remember this verse in Psalm 26 verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. This is the time when we should be examining ourselves coming up to the Passover. In Lamentations 3 verse 40 it says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 27, therefore whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But to let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. In this scripture we are prepared, we're commanded to examine ourselves in preparation for the Passover. There are four areas to examine: the world, our human nature, Satan's influence, and our relationships with the brethren. Today I will focus on the first of these matters as we renew our covenant with God, the world. We need to remember that we are strangers on this earth, called out of this world and offered a better country. As it says in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country for which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And also we are called out of darkness in 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. So what do we mean by this world? I'm not talking about creation or nature. I'm talking about this world's systems. You need to reread Daniel chapter 2. This world system was set up under Nebuchadnezzar somewhere in the 500s BC. That's 2,500 years ago. We read in Daniel 2 about a great image that had different qualities. This is Daniel explaining the dream. O king, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. The image's head was fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, and its legs of iron, and its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. The key point that is that this system continues right down to the time when Christ sets up his kingdom on earth, as it says in verse 43 and 44. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And this section is expanded if you read in Revelation 17, verse 8 and 18. Chapter 17 and 18. Actually, Adrian Davis was talking about this past Wednesday, about chapter 18. The Babylonian system is still with us, still exists today. Is it all evil, totally bad? That will be easy. It is a result of the tree of good and evil in Genesis 3. That is a challenge. This world has produced good things and bad things. For example, this iPhone. You can communicate with all sorts of people, and you can have the Bible on the iPhone. So there's a lot of good things as well as bad things, but overall it's corrupt. We are told to depart from evil and do what is good. In Psalm 34 verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The trouble is, God warns about those who call evil good and good evil. Where do we go to know what is good and what is evil? The Bible. The Bible is a gold standard to know what is good and evil. Isaiah 5 verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I don't really need to elaborate about this, because you know, in this society, they say things that are evil are good, and things that are good are evil. Notice Job 29 verse 2 and 3. Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me. When his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. We are in a world of darkness. Although it's a mixture of good and evil, basically it's darkness. God's word is our guide, as it says in Psalm 119 verse 105. God's word is the lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It shows us what is good and what is bad, and where to go. It's like walking along or driving along the roads these days with potholes. It shows us where the potholes are, what to avoid. We are in a war with strongholds. We have spiritual weapons: prayer, fasting, Bible study, and God's Holy Spirit. It says 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have to control our minds. In fact, we are fighting against Satan as a host of demons, evil angels who control and influence this world. It says in Ephesians 6 verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Having said that, we must obey every legitimate law, as long as they do not contradict the law of God, following the example of Peter and John, in Acts 4 when they brought them before the council of the elders, the leaders in those days, to question why they were preaching the gospel in Acts 4 verse 18 to 20. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." This also means we have to obey God's law above man's law where there is a contradiction. Paul warns about perilous times to come because of the influence of society on people. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away." In verse 2, the focus is on the self in this society. Is that not true? Surely, in this society, there's also a great love of money. Many believe that it will bring happiness. Look to the popularity of the lottery. People boast to exalt themselves. In contrast, we as God's people are to esteem others better than ourselves. So it says in Philippians 2 verse 3, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves." People will be blasphemous. People curse and swear, especially people in the public eye and the media. You can hardly watch a movie these days without someone cursing. People are proud. People tend to be all show. They look good, but they have no substance. They bluff and brag. We can think of one North Korean gentleman who might fall into that category. Unthankful. People who think they have a right to whatever they receive. There is no gratitude in either God nor man. False accusers in verse 3. When people falsely accuse, they're following the example of Satan. Revelation 12 verse 10. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down." So if you're you are an accuser, you're following Satan. People despise those who do what is right because it shows them up as evil. John made this point in chapter 3, verse 19 to 20. It says, "This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Another point that's raised in Timothy is pleasure. People are more focused on pleasure rather than on God. Our focus is to be towards God and the needs of others. We are commanded to care for one another, following the example of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 and 26, that there should be no schism in the body, but that members should have the same care for one another, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or if one member is honoured, all the members rejoice with it. We have the example of Moses, who was high in the society of Egypt, probably the most powerful nation at the time, as a son of a princess in the royal family, in one of the, as I say, in one of the most powerful nations of the time, he gave up all the wealth and privilege for God's kingdom. For it says in Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 26, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses looked to God in faith and followed God's direction in keeping the Passover and so preserving all Israel, says in verse 27 to 28. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. God has given us other examples of faith. For example, they were looking for God's kingdom. The example of Abraham, you'll find in Hebrews 11, verse 9 to 10. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They saw the kingdom, God's kingdom, as a much better place than this world. As it says in Hebrews 11, verse 13 to 16, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And if, truly, if they called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But notice, but now they desire better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared a city for them. We are somewhere on a line, a continuum between this world system and God's kingdom. We need to strive to have a more vivid picture of God's kingdom so we can resist the influence, the attraction, and the pull of this world. Let's turn on the light of God's word as we examine ourselves, preparing to renew our covenant with God at the New Testament Passover.